Hey, what's up, Fanatics? Recording this on Thursday, July 6th. I just got back from Okoboji. Jared Stansbury hitting the road to Vegas, where he will be taking in some summer league action, NBA summer league action. We're going to be talking about that, what to expect from former Cyclones here momentarily. Today's podcast brought to you by our friends at AgriGold. AgriGold, they know corn. We were supposed to have CFTV Live earlier today, but Tommy Birch, being the unreliable SOB, just kidding, Tommy, that he is. He bailed at the last minute. So Jared and I are doing an impromptu AgriGold podcast here on a Thursday. Again, I just got back. I've been in Okoboji since Saturday. I have no idea what's been going on. I started to catch up on a little bit of Iowa State stuff last night. I saw the Galbon kid. Did I pronounce that right?
Yeah.
He decommits last night. I've been working on a few basketball deals, as have you. Saw you talk to the kid from Chicago last night. We can hit on that as well. A lot of people, Jared asked me about Tyler Harris, what happened there. That's his name, right?
Yeah,
Harris.
Yeah.
The kid from down south, the point guard from down south. Sounds like it went well. No commitment from Iowa State. The big tie-in there is Cameron Payne, very close to Cameron Payne, who obviously played for Steve Prohm at Murray State. So that's the angle that Iowa State is working, but no commitment was made on campus. Does sound like it went well. I think I took care of all the housekeeping. What else did I miss? Anything?
I can't think of anything. It's kind of quiet while you were gone.
Well, that's how it should be over the 4th.
Yeah.
But now everything will, like, heat up.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's your problem?
I'm just stressed out, man.
Why?
The CFTV Live thing stressed me out. I had my whole day planned out. It was all going to be ready to go.
Well, it's fine.
Now I'm just rattled.
We called an audible at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah. Yeah, we did. I'm not even packed. I'm leaving in like 4 hours.
Okay, so how long? You're going to the Summer League? Walk me through how and why you're going to watch the NBA Summer League.
So we're flying out tonight, Thursday. Then the games start tomorrow.
Haven't games already started?
Yeah, the ones in Utah and Orlando already started.
Oh, okay.
I think Orlando's actually already over.
Okay.
But then Utah actually might get over to tonight or yesterday. I can't remember for sure.
But this one's
then,
like,
Las Vegas starts tomorrow.
So is Vegas like a big one for Iowa State?
Yeah, that's the one where all the guys will be at.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, Matt will play tomorrow. Monte plays tomorrow and Naz plays tomorrow.
Are you going to all those games?
Monte and Naz, their game will likely kind of overlap. But yeah, I'll probably walk back and forth between the two. The gyms are kind of in the same building, so I'll just try and wander around a little bit.
Interesting. I have no idea how the summer league thing really works.
Yeah, they play.
What's the venue? Do you know?
Some of the games are played at the Thomas Mack Center, where UNLV plays, and then the other ones are played at the Cox Pavilion, which is in the same building, but they're like a 2-minute walk away from each other, according to Google Maps. So, yeah, probably just. Monte's game starts first, so I'll probably watch the beginning of that one, then go down and watch.
Are these on TV?
Naz's game for a little while.
Are people listening?
Matt Thomas. Actually, I think that I don't know if this is like breaking news, but somebody told me that Matt's actually going to play for the Lakers during this league. I think you'd reported he was going to play for the Raptors. I think that might have even been what Iowa State announced too. But
well, I saw that he was when I was in Okoboji.
He was on the roster for both teams.
He put something on Instagram, and person I was with knows Matt pretty well and says, oh, yeah, something about the Lakers.
Yeah.
I had heard that.
Yeah, I have it on good authority. He'll play for the Lakers instead of the Raptors. So he'll play at 7:30 Central Time on ESPN on Friday night, and then Monte will play at 9 o'clock Central Time on NBA TV, and then Naz will play at 9:30 Central Time.
Do you have all these written down?
Yeah, I do.
Shoot me an email with them.
Okay.
And then I'll make sure and get them on the forum for people, because I think that a lot of people are going to
For sure.
Really care about this.
But that one's at 9:30. That'll be on ESPN too. So yeah, all three of those games, two of them will be on normal cable, and then the other one will be on NBA TV.
So basically, you and a buddy just decided.
He just asked me if
you're going to take a vacation to Vegas to watch the Clones play in the summer league.
Yeah, he asked if I'd want to go, and I tried to get credentialed, but I was past the deadline already to request, so they put me on like a waiting list. So I'm going to take stuff that in case if they tell me that I can get in, I'll do that. But Yeah, I might try and meet up with at least one of the guys and talk to them at some point to write a story. So
that'd be cool.
Yeah. I'll probably do like some kind of, I don't know, I was thinking like a running blog of some sort or something with the just some notes and stuff from.
The Niang thing's a bummer.
Yeah, it really is. And, well, I was going to actually look this up because I think that he has a option in his contract that's going to come up here pretty soon. Look him up on Basketball Reference. But I don't think that his second year is guaranteed. I just don't remember what when it is that it comes up that he would that he they could like have to waive him by.
Okay. About these other guys, though. So the ones you mentioned, is it the only ones that are still left? Because I know like Nader's been playing, right? Is Nader done?
Yeah, he just finished up in Utah. I don't think that he's going to play in Vegas, well, but Nader, Celtics will be there too.
Is he going to make the Celtics roster, like their actual roster this year? Because it's certainly what it sounded like last year.
I can't imagine.
You don't think he will? So what's it like? Where's Abdul Nader at?
I mean,
next year?
Maybe he will, but
he got screwed. He signed a terrible deal to sign that D League deal last year.
If he does get end up on their roster, I can't imagine he'll play. They're pretty backloaded at that position.
I know, but my point is, like, he got screwed. Like, he'd be much better off to be a free agent.
He almost would be better off to be a free agent, and then if he could sign a two-way deal with somebody. Because he doesn't have a two-way deal. They didn't have that when he signed.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, he elected to do that D-League thing last year, and I said at the time I thought it was a terrible decision, and a lot of people came at me on that. But, like, it looks to me like Nader is just, like, a really good player right now who could play for half the teams in the league, but he's not going to end up on a roster.
It looks like George's contract is guaranteed for $100,000 for next season until next Saturday. So if he's on the team still next Saturday, he'll get his money will all be guaranteed for 2017-18. July 15th.
Didn't they just sign a stretch four too? Or they drafted a stretch four? The Pacers did with their first round pick.
Who did they pick with their first round pick?
I don't remember what the specific name was, but I remember Brent Bloom saying to me at the time, oh, that's not good for George.
Yeah, I mean, I would probably say that if he's going to be anywhere, Indiana's probably not that bad of a place to be considering they're going to probably be really bad. Like, they don't have anybody, really, except for Miles Turner. Victor Oladipo, I guess, but I'm not sure that he's anybody that's going to change the East, but the East is going to be so bad that it might not matter.
This is true. Okay, so let's run down these who these guys are playing with.
Okay,
like who of the whole group, who are you most anxious to watch and why?
Well, I mean, I'd probably say Monte because actually, no, Deonte Burton playing for the Timberwolves. He doesn't play till Saturday, but I mean, I think that if any of these guys. Besides Monte, obviously, since he got drafted by the team. But I'd say if any of these guys actually had an opportunity to sign a contract with the team that they're playing with, it would probably be Deonte. And I think he'd be a...
More so than Monte?
No, besides Monte, other three. Okay. I would say Monte would be number one and then Deonte.
Yeah, to sign
one of those two-way deals that I was just talking about where he can go back and forth between the G League and the NBA.
I agree with that.
The 16th and 17th roster spots.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised either with the way this G League thing set up now. I wouldn't be surprised if Matt or Naz ended up there either.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the one thing
I'm talking about in Iowa.
Yeah.
I do think that they're going to...
So then you think that they would sign with Minnesota too?
I think they could.
Okay.
I'm not saying both, but not one of the two-way deals like you're talking about, but I'm just saying in general. I think that this new D-League deal, I think that they will try and get butts in the seats. And by getting guys like that,
yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised at all if either one of those guys were there.
Yeah, I mean, if Matt was going to sign with somebody, I mean, the Lakers are another one of those teams that they're looking for young guys to try and kind of build that that roster that they have there. And I mean, he's going to probably have an opportunity to come in and make an impact for them this year. Obviously, he'll get to play with Lonzo and the other young guys that they have there in Los Angeles. And I mean, for Deonte, I think that a team's going to be willing to take a chance on his skill set more than maybe some of the maybe someone like Matt or Naz.
Didn't he show up really out of shape though?
He could have. I didn't hear that, but I wouldn't be surprised if that was true. I'd heard that previously as well.
That he had just packed on a bunch of pounds.
Yeah. Not that I don't think he lost any athleticism with it, but I had heard that he was kind of out of shape.
But that's for a guy like the
someone like him can't come in out of shape.
No.
You don't have any room for error like that.
Yeah, and also, if you go through Deontay's past, now he was a pretty good teammate and a good guy to be around last year, but mm-hmm. I think that he was a little bit sketchy in some years before that. And if you're calling around Buzz Williams and getting references.
Right.
And then this guy shows up 20 pounds overweight, like you add it all up, and it's not a good look. But I agree with you. I mean, he seems like a guy who fits in today's modern NBA.
Yeah, this team that Matt's playing on is going to be kind of interesting because they have Lonzo and they'll have Brandon Ingram.
So Thomas is playing in the same backcourt as those two guys?
Yeah. And then Thomas Bryant from Indiana will be on that team. Josh Hart from Villanova. Who else here? Okay, I mean, Zubac, the big guy that they brought in last year, that is pretty good. But, I think that's going to be a group that will be pretty interesting to watch, and Matt will probably be one of the more important stretch players that they have on that roster. The Kings are going to be fun to watch, too, because they're going to have De'Aaron Fox, they'll have Buddy Hield, Scalabissier, Harry Giles. Who else was there? Who was their other one pick
Frank
that they
Mason.
Had? Yeah, Frank Mason. I wrote this down just earlier. Frank Mason, Justin Jackson, Harry Giles, Scal, Buddy, and then De'Aaron Fox plus Nas. So, I mean, that'll be a team with a lot of guys that were pretty high-profile guys at the college level.
And guys that we're aware of in the Big 12.
Yeah. Well, and they're playing against Phoenix in that first game, so they'll play right against Josh Jackson.
Cool.
Which I thought was going to be kind of fun to watch.
And then catch me up to and our listeners on Naz Mitrulong. He had like 16 in his opener.
He had 16 in the opener, and then I think he might have scored. I thought I saw a tweet that he scored like 17 today, which today must have been the last day of the Orlando one. But
so, what does that actually mean?
Well, he barely played. He got a DNP in one game, and then in two other ones, he scored 2 points and went like 1 for 6 from the field.
So are these games that he's scoring 16, 17 in because nobody else is playing?
I don't know if that's what it is or if it's just they're the only ones that he's really gotten enough minutes to. Well, and like I said, I mean, he went 1 for 5, 1 for 6. He probably got in there and fired up a couple shots, and they're like, this guy needs to sit, and he didn't play again.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of those ones where it's just like, if you don't have it, then they're probably just not going to play you.
All right, let's make projections right now. It's July 6th. When do the NBA rosters have to be set? Like October?
Yeah.
A little after October when the preseason gets going?
Yeah. Well, and then even then, okay, like, there's a lot of movement.
Let's just say, okay, from in the next year,
mm-hmm.
which of these former Cyclones play in the NBA? Meaning they get NBA contracts, even if it's a 10-day. So I would say Monte is a lot near lock.
Monte is a near lock. Obviously George is a near lock.
Is George a near lock?
I'd say so.
He still is?
Okay. Yeah, I'd think so.
I hope so. I was texting with him earlier and about his knee. I was just like, man, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. He didn't seem like he was
overly concerned. Well, they still
I
have him out.
I didn't come out and be like, hey dude, I hope you don't get cut. Like I didn't say it like that, but like he still seems fairly upbeat.
They still have, they have him out doing like PR stuff, so I can't imagine they'd have him out doing events and stuff like that and then be like, oh well, we cut him.
Yeah,
you know.
Okay, so we've got Morris and Yang. What about Burton, do you think? Or what about, well, we'll go to Nader first because I think that he's more of a chance.
I think we'll see Abdul Nader in the NBA in the next year. I wouldn't be surprised by it.
You think they'll trade him?
They could. Yeah, I mean, Boston seems like one of those teams that's setting up to make a deal, which they've been saying that for a long time.
They're going to try and get Porzingis.
That's not going to happen now.
It's the only thing that would make sense.
That's not going to happen now. Now that Phil's gone, Phil was the only person in that organization stupid enough to do that. I don't even think James Dolan's stupid enough to do that.
I agree with you. I love Porzingis.
I actually think that Phil Jackson was trying to get fired by the time that he was done. I'm dead serious. I think that he was like, pay me my money and I'll leave.
But like Boston's got all those picks, right?
Yeah. Well,
if I'm the Knicks, though,
they've used some of them though to pick Tatum and Jaylen Brown.
Correct. But they still have a ton of like first round picks in the Knicks.
Yeah. Well, they have the Brooklyn pick again for next year, which could end up being number one, and everybody wants to be number one to get Michael Porter.
And this is what I'm saying. If I'm the Knicks, like, I can't kill the Knicks if they do some sort of a deal where, because Boston, now that they signed Hayward, they've got to get some cap space.
Yeah.
If the Knicks could get, like, Smart, because I think that it sounds like they'll probably have to unload Smart.
Yeah, Smart, Crowder, Avery Bradley.
Yeah. If you can get, like, those three guys in a couple of first-round picks for Porzingis, maybe two or three, I mean, who knows? Like,
well, that's
I love Porzingis as much as anybody, but even with him, they're not going to be any good.
Well, and that's the hole. But that's the hole that Boston has dug themselves into, where they're trying to get Gordon Hayward, and now everybody knows that they want to get Gordon Hayward.
They got it. It's done.
Yeah, but they still have to clear that space, though. So it's like, why?
Yeah.
A lot of teams are going to look at that and be like, why would we take a player for nothing? You know, to just so that you can sign a guy that's better. Like, you got to give us something here if you want us to even consider doing this. And I think that's – they kind of lost their leverage in that whole situation when they didn't trade any of those picks before the draft.
Yeah.
They should have just pulled the trigger and traded for Paul George, dude. That was the stupid thing that they did. They waited too long. They trusted Kevin Pritchard too much.
The Thunder will be fun next year. I don't know how good they'll be, but they're going to be fun.
I was going to say, they'll be fun, but I'm not convinced that they're going to be very good.
I think they're like a 6 or 7 seed in the West, but I'll still watch them.
It'll be interesting to see how Russ is able to adjust back to having another good player on his team.
Hopefully he's matured a little bit and he'll be better. I love the Thunder. Now that Doug's there, like, they're legit my bona fide second favorite team. It's not close.
I think the thing that you win that trade the most, though, for the Thunder is that you get out from Victor Oladipo's deal, which was terrible. He was making way too much money. And then Sabonis, he didn't play very well really during last season, and he's still just going into his second year. So, I mean, trading him to Indiana is essentially like trading a number one pick. And if you get into the season and you're not any good, then Paul George still is going to be an expiring contract. You could trade him and see whatever you can get at that point. And then, you know, then you have to accept that Russ might not re-sign too.
Okay, so Mitru Long and Matt Thomas, I'd say it's an extreme long shot either one of those guys make a team.
Yeah, yeah. I would think that if they're playing in America, it will be in the G League, but not like on a potential to go to the NBA type situation.
Don't sleep on either of those guys ending up in Des Moines. It just makes too much sense, like, because I like the way it's set up, from what I understand, like, you're going to have the NBA franchises calling the shots for like half the roster.
It's two spots, I think.
It's just two spots.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I still think they're going to be involved in personnel, I guess.
Yeah, they will. They're not, well, especially since they own the teams.
Like, correct. But then I do think that there's going to be a aspect of it where it's like, let's get some butts in the seat.
Right.
Let's get Peter Jok. Let's get Matt Thomas. Let's get whoever.
Well, it won't be quite as much like it was previously in the G League, where it's there might be one guy or two guys that are legitimate NBA prospects, and then all the rest of the guys are just like Joe Schmoes that are like, correct, I still want to keep playing basketball, and they went and signed up for a tryout, you know.
Guys.
Yeah, they'll be real legitimate basketball prospects. But
are the Timberwolves like your favorite team now?
Yeah, probably. I have a Bulls shirt on today, but yeah, probably the Timberwolves.
I like the T-Wolves. I like them.
I like Carl Anthony Towns.
Yeah,
he's a fun player.
I thought you were like a Pelicans fan, or you just
like Anthony Davis. I'm a fan of the players.
See, that's everything that's wrong with the league.
I guess so. Yeah,
it really is.
I like to see the players that I like be successful.
I don't blame you. I'm just saying, like, that.
Unless it's Kevin Durant,
that's a problem. Like, I think with the league, because it's just like nobody's like the new age fan. They're not like loyal to teams. They just follow players around.
Yeah.
Like, when Jordan left, I was still a Bulls fan, damn it. I was like I became more of a Bulls, swear to God, I was more of a Bulls fan when he left, when he retired, right? Because I'm like, man, like, I've been with them from day one, like, since they were the first team I ever really loved in any sport. And so after your team goes from winning to winning like 17 games a year,
I think
you get beaten down with them, and then you end up liking them more when they come back.
I think the difference for the NBA is that, It used to be kind of a regional sport, whereas now it's a national one. And a lot of these guys, people will follow them for, I mean, by the time they're 6 years into the NBA, into their NBA career, they could have played, if they played 1-2 years in college, you know, however long they're even coming up in high school, it's like you could have been following this guy for 9 or 10 years by the time he gets to the NBA. And that's kind of what it was with Anthony Davis. I liked him when he was just coming out of high school.
Yeah.
And then I loved him when he was at Kentucky.
No, I get it.
And absolutely. I kind of just followed him up all the way through to New Orleans. But New Orleans, the rest of their team's so bad that it's hard to even really like him. Like,
I'm a Bulls fan, and then I'm a Doug McDermott and Niang fan. I just follow those guys around.
There you go.
And I'll do the same with Monte. I'll cheer for whoever Monte's playing with.
I felt like
Deontay.
Monte was going into a good position, but they just signed another point guard, another old guy, yesterday.
Oh, really?
I don't remember who it was, but yeah, it was pretty much like a Jameer Nelson type guy. So now they'll have two of those guys, and then
that's
Monte.
Not good.
Yeah, plus Jamal Murray and Emmanuel Mudiay.
That sucks.
I don't think that it'll make that much of a difference for what they were going to do with him anyway, because I still think that he would be a prospect for that two-way contract rather than like an actual contract where he's on the team.
Well, we'll keep you guys updated. Jared's been doing a good job of the last week posting recaps and stuff, and I'll be doing that while Jared is in Las Vegas here. When do you come back?
Sunday.
When he comes back on Sunday, so it's kind of my turn to be on call. AgriGold presents today's podcast at CycloneFanatic.com. Real quick, I just wanted to touch on the you know what? We're going to save – let's save some football recruiting talk for the Saturday podcast.
Yeah, that sounds good. That's what I was thinking.
I have some opinions on what's going on with these recent decommits.
Mm-hmm.
And you actually cover football recruiting. I don't. So we'll see. I'm going to bounce them off of you, and you can stay tuned for Cyclone Fanatic podcast page on iTunes, or of course the front page for some football recruiting talk. That'll come up on the Saturday podcast this week. It'll be presented by our friends at Heartland Flags. Today's podcast brought to you by AgriGold. He's Jared Stansberry. I'm Chris Williams. So long, everybody.